And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today we have secrets. Secrets. Oh, I love this volume because, oh, I don't know, we're up to about volume, what, 206? Thank you, Jerry. 206. Well, let's get right to it, okay? Let me take a little drink of coffee here. You know, these cool fall mornings, you get a little, you know, stuff in your throat and you just, I always love coffee. Coffee is sort of it's an antiseptic. It really is. You know, that's what the doctors are finding out now, that coffee and tea are good for you. They kill bacteria and viruses and all of that. So I always like to have a morning cup of coffee. And then at night I drink a glass of a good tea. I usually try to get that herbal tea, you know, one kind or another, green tea or something like that. Well, well, somebody should have been drinking some green tea over in Israel recently, where a panel at Yeshiva University met to discuss the Iranian problem, the problem with nuclear bombs and Iran. Now, all 16 major United States intelligence agencies say there's no problem, that Iran is not developing nuclear weapons. And if they were to begin, we would have at least a year before they finish the process to do something about it. But, you know, it seems like every month there's something comes out in the paper. In fact, I just read recently in the Drudge Report, it said Israel says Iran will have nukes in 2 weeks. Of course, that was, you know, now. But 6 months ago, there was something in there that says Israeli intelligence says Iran now has nukes. And then if you go back about 6 months before that, you'll see Israel says Iran close to nukes. You know, they keep making all this stuff up, trying to gin up some business. What kind of business are they trying to gin up? They want Americans to be the bullies, to be the bully boy mercenaries, and to go over and bomb Iran and kill a bunch of people. They don't care about the lost lives, American or Iranian. You know, these people have absolutely no morals at all. But they're having this panel at Yeshiva University. It was televised. Now, the moderator was a rabbi, Shmuley Boteach. Now, he's an American rabbi, but you know, like all Jews, they're both from Israel and the United States. Never could figure that out. You know, a guy comes to the United States from Pakistan, becomes an American citizen. He's strictly an American. If he was born in America, he's definitely an American. But a Jew says no. All Jews are citizens of Israel. Now, there's 7 million Jews in the United States. If you're born in this country, you're automatically a citizen. So they claim they're dual citizens. But it's like, you know, the guy that was head of the International Monetary Fund that was outed for trying to have sex with a maid in his New York hotel, Dominic, wasn't it? Dominic something or other from Italy. Yeah, he was an Italian, I believe, or a Frenchman. I can't remember now. Yeah, Frenchman, okay. But in any case, he said, every morning when I wake up, I look in the mirror and say, what can I do for Israel today? I've heard congressmen, they're Jewish, say, every day, when I get up and get dressed and get going, I drink my morning cup of coffee. I ask myself, what can I do for Israel today? Well, for heaven's sake, what are they doing in the U.S. Congress? You know, Mark Dankoff, a Lutheran pastor in San Antonio, recently wrote a letter to a U.S. congressman who's Jewish and said, I think you're doing a fabulous job, congressman. And I want to say that I endorse you for the parliament, the Knesset of Israel. You would make a fantastic Knesset member of parliament. And he would, but he's no good for America. He's a traitor to America. Can you imagine if these people had existed back in the days of George Washington, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and tried to pull these shenanigans? They would be laughed out of the United States. They'd be put in prison. They'd be thrown into a brig. But in any case, Sheldon Adelson is his name. He was there at Yeshiva University with Rabbi Shmuley Boteach. Now, let's just talk about Sheldon Adelson. He's the guy that gave Newt Gingrich about $1 million to run for president. See, the Jews sponsor both the Democrat and the Republican parties. So he's a supposed Republican. But he was sponsoring Gingrich because Gingrich, well, you know, Newt Gingrich, he'd just do anything to win the votes, including, you know, kissing the posterior of Israel. And that's why Sheldon Adelson liked him. Now, who is Sheldon Adelson? He's a billionaire. He owns one of the biggest casinos in Las Vegas, the Sands. He also owns another casino in Red China. So, and here's a guy over in Israel. Well, in any case, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, who is he? Well, he was once Michael Jackson, you know, the singer, entertainer. He was his rabbi, of all things. Well, Rabbi Boteach asked Sheldon Adelson, what are we to do about Iran? Adelson says, well, we're going to have to do something. And Boteach said, should we negotiate with Iran so that Iran will get rid of its uranium enrichment program? Adelson's retort, what are we going to negotiate about? What we should do, said Adelson, is just go ahead and nuclear bomb them. So they don't even have a nuclear weapon that we have to worry about. And Iran has not invaded anybody for like 300 years in the Middle East. They're not a warlike country. They're a peaceful nation. So why don't we just take a nuclear bomb and go explode it and just blow up something? He says we ought to blow up the first one and tell them, you know, what do you think about that? Well, I'll tell you, what do they think about it? That would make all the whole Muslim world go nuts, wouldn't it? With terrorist attacks and such. I mean, why not take a nuclear bomb and go blow up Tel Aviv? Now, he says this because we cannot afford, he claims, for Iran to gain a nuclear bomb. Well, they're not even working on them. This is all baloney propaganda. But in any case, there is a nation in the Middle East that has nuclear bombs. It's a nation that President John F. Kennedy, just a couple of months before he died in 1963, sent a letter demanding that nation give up its nuclear weapons that were, of course, stolen in the first place from the United States of America. That's right. John F. Kennedy told David Ben-Gurion, the Polish prime minister of, you know, he's a Khazar of Israel, you've got to give them up. They said that David Ben-Gurion almost went out of his mind. He had a nervous breakdown What am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's how important the nuclear bombs were to Israel. What am I going to do? The President of the United States is ordering us to give up our nuclear bombs. 2 months later, President Kennedy was shot and killed. Now, my good friend, Michael Collins Piper, you can leave people with two names. You know, I'm Texie William Elisha Morse. I'm the same way. I guess I could use one of those names, but I don't. In any case, Michael wrote a fantastic book called Final Judgment about the assassination of John F. Kennedy back in November of 63. His candidate, most likely culprit, was Israel. Wow. Now, nobody knew all the backhand dealing that Israel and the United States were working on. But we do know now from all of the documents that have been unclassified that the Kennedy brothers had Israel's number. They were not going to be brought into the Israeli dupe category. They had ordered them. And he said, we're going to send a inspector over in a couple of months to check your manufacturing plants. Basically, Kennedy said, you better not be making nuclear bombs or we'll retaliate or do something to you. And they had all their meetings and such. And I believe that Israel, the Mossad, was cooperating with the CIA and the FBI, and they both together and with the mafia and all of them together worked to kill Kennedy. It was a coup d'etat, no doubt about it. And now this idiot billionaire, and that's what he is, an idiot, Sheldon Adelson, says the United States, not Israel now, the United States should drop an atomic bomb on Iran. Well, why not Israel, Mr. Adelson? Now, I know you're busy, and I know all these new games and slot machines in your casino, and you just hadn't gotten much time. But if you're going to comment on politics instead of gambling, tell me this, why shouldn't Israel fly or send a missile over to Iran with one of your nuclear bombs? Huh. Are you worried about what Iran might do in response? I bet you are. You're frightened to death of Iran, aren't you? Of course you are. Well, why do you want Americans to go over there and drop an atomic bomb on them for? You've got 300 or 400 there in the Negev Desert yourself. I tell you why, you want us to die and bleed for you. Well, we're not going to do it anymore, buddy. Okay, well, hey, here's the next secret. Now, this is really incredible. An Israeli lobby group came up with a questionnaire for American Jews. And this is a question that no one but Jews could ask other Jews. Now, here's a question. It asked, this was a survey taken by the Israeli American Fund, which is funded by Sheldon Adelson, of all people, who's a Republican, and another Jew named Haim Saban, who's Democratic. He's a Democrat party. Adelson is Republican. Now, their survey, now this is all from Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper. The survey asked which side the respondents would support, which side, if there was a crisis in the relationship between the United States and Israel. In other words, if America and Israel had a big crisis and opposed each other, who would they support, Israel or the United States? They asked this question of American Jews. Now, before they had a chance to report the results, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, moved in and killed the poll. Now, why did he interfere in this? This is an Israeli lobby group. They wanted to know the answer. Basically, are American Jews patriotic to Israel or to the United States? Are you going to take America's side or the Israel side in some future, maybe diplomatic crisis? But Netanyahu killed the poll. Why? He ordered them not to indicate where their allegiance would lie in the case of a crisis between the two countries. Now, you know why he did it, don't you? This poll was going to be published. And he didn't want Americans to get a hold of it. He doesn't want us to know that the Jews in America would back Israel and not back the United States. Now, friends, why do I know this? I know this because I talk to evangelical Christians all the time. They tell me if the United States went to war with Israel in the future, they would back Israel. Now, some of these idiots have even told me I would even go and serve in Israeli uniform and fight against the American military. Can you believe that? Now, to a guy who spent 20 years, as I did, in Air Force Blue, this is treasonous. For some, you know, lead-headed, I don't know what to call him, serpent, weasel, to say that he would take up arms and fight his own country if Israel went to war with us. Now, I'm not saying they ever would, but can you imagine? Now, these guys that are telling me this, they don't even know what the situation is all about. They don't even know what circumstances, what is the crisis. They just quickly jump in and say, oh, we've got to back Israel. God will not bless us unless we back Israel. God will curse us if we don't back Israel. That's not even in the Bible. I know it says in Genesis to Abraham, God said, whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. That's to Abraham. He's in heaven now. That doesn't have anything to do with the Jews of our day. How about the Jews of Jesus' day? Jesus told the Jews, you are of your father, the devil. Was Jesus wrong to do such a thing? Paul said those who were into Judaism were trying to bring the Christian church into Judaism, back into Judaism. He said, you're practicing witchcraft. You can't build a foundation on Judaism. You got to build it on Jesus Christ. You're practicing witchcraft. Read Galatians 3. Is he cursed by God, the Apostle Paul, for saying a bad thing about the Jews? And Peter was brought in before the Sanhedrin, before the chief rabbis, and ordered not to preach Jesus. But he went out and preached Jesus anyway. He didn't bless the Jews, did he? No. He said, I ought to obey God and not man. Was he wrong? This is the evil. You know, a man wrote to me last week and he said, Tex, respond to me. In Romans it says that we are to obey those in government appointed over us. Shouldn't we obey Obama? Shouldn't we do what the government tells us to do? You know, they try to take a situation that doesn't even fit. We're in a democracy. We vote in this country. And those who lose the vote fight to win another day. You don't give up. Believe me, if there's a Republican or a conservative in office, the liberals would fight him tooth and nail. If Obama says we're going to start killing little babies up to 2 years of age, infanticide, partial birth abortion isn't enough, Obama says. I think we can kill up to 2 years. So if you have a little child, and let's say they're 1.5 years old, and you don't like their crying at night, or they're doing something to disturb you, they're a nuisance, bring them on down to the police station, we'll shoot them in the head. Would you go along with that, friends? After all, those appointed in power over you in the government are doing it. How about Lenin when he said, we're going to burn down these churches here in Russia? would just said, oh, whoop-de-doo. The leader of our country told us to go burn the churches. Let's all go have a big bonfire tonight. Why not? You were told to do that, weren't you? Burn down the churches, Lennon says. That's what you do, don't you?
Well, I couldn't do that. A communist said that.
No, he had the government. He had control. He was in the Kremlin. So this jerk who wrote to me takes it out of context and tries to bludgeon Christians with it.
You should be doing what Obama tells you to do. You should be obeying him. You should
shut up, fella. You don't even read the Bible. I'll tell you what Romans says. Romans says you should obey them because they are a minister for God over you.
Ah.
This is the ideal situation. The president or the prime minister or the premier, the leader of a country, serves as God's minister. God put him in position. God placed him there. He has a responsibility to God to do what's right. If he doesn't do what's right, then you have no responsibility at all to do what he says. I mean, I taught military law to officer trainees. That was one of my jobs as an officer in the Air Force. I taught military law, and I told these young guys that were going to become lieutenants in the Air Force, I said, you have no responsibility to obey unlawful orders. If a colonel or a general tells you, Lieutenant, I need money, go rob that bank for me. You have no responsibility to rob that bank. If they've captured prisoners and they're all tied up and waiting to go to the POW camp, and your military superior says, we've decided just to kill them, that violates the laws of war. You don't kill prisoners. You put them in a camp. You treat them decently and all that kind of stuff. You don't kill them. People said to me, well, how about William Calley? He followed orders. He followed an unlawful order. He followed an unlawful order. He was under no obligation to do it. Now, I've had people that said, well, then they would have court-martialed him. Court-martialed him for what? They would have embarrassed themselves. You can't file charges against somebody for not obeying an unlawful order. Now, if a general said, you know, shine my shoes, go out and mow the grass, polish my car, iron my uniform, those may seem personal things to you, but you better do them. He's a general. There's nothing in there that's unlawful, is there? But if he says, go kill this person, go rob this person, go do ABC, you're not under any obligation to do what he says. The same thing goes as a Christian. If your superior, your governor, your senator, your president or whatever, if he has, and if he says do ABC, you look at ABC and it violates the Bible, you're under no obligation. Now, some people say to me, but what about like traffic? It's 60 miles an hour, but I want to go 70. Let me tell you something. I don't think you should go 70. I think you should go 60. Yeah, but there's nobody on the road. I'm not hurting anybody. Hey, it's a law. Obey it. It's not going to kill you to get there a little bit later. I'm just a stickler on stuff like that. If you can obey the law, if it doesn't hurt anybody, if it's not against God's word, then do it. He didn't tell you to drive 70, did he? You're not going to go into some courtroom and say, well, God told me to drive 70. I think if I were a judge, I'd laugh at you. Well, you know, God's not in this courtroom. You're going to pay a penalty. Now, do you understand the difference? Now, we're still on Israel. Listen to this. This is, it's typical. PressTV.com. Israeli drone fires a missile into northern Gaza. What is Gaza? Gaza is part of Palestine. Now, Gaza, the Gaza Strip is a coastal enclave. It's a small piece of land that's on the coast. Why does Israel keep bombing this place, killing the Palestinians? They would like the Palestinians to leave Gaza. Why? Because there's oil there. There's oil there in the ocean outside. And the Israelis know there's oil there. So, periodically, they'll send airplanes in and they'll bomb the place. They'll send bulldozers in and they'll knock houses down and such in Gaza. Now they've got drones. Who do you think gave them drones? Well, the United States, of course. We give Israel the military arms with which they go and kill Palestinians.
Well, you don't understand, Tex. The Palestinians, they send these rockets, and they attack Israel with these rockets.
Hey, have you ever seen those rockets? They look like some 14-year-old is, you know, developing a little rocket. You know, and he lights it, and it goes up, you know, 100 feet into space. Come on, these rockets. I believe the Israelis are shooting the rockets at themselves anyway. When they do that, it gives them a pretext to go in and bomb and kill more Palestinians. And that's what they do. Well, you know, with Obama, we're just getting more and more deeper into socialism and communism. And it's like, you know, sticking your feet in it first. And, ooh, it's sort of hot, but, well, after a while, it gets a little cool. And then you stick a little bit more. Pretty soon, your whole body's inside. Then you're inside their capsule, so to speak. And then they turn up the heat. Oh, boy, now you're in trouble. We now have so many workers in government. And they keep hiring more and more IRS agents to enforce Obamacare. More Obamacare navigators and agents to shaft people in terms of health care plans. Now get this, folks. Recently it was announced on CNS News that the Census Bureau now says those receiving welfare benefits, and we're not talking about, you know, retired military, retired Social Security people. We're talking about recipients of means-tested government benefits, welfare recipients. In 2011, recipients of government welfare outnumbered year-round full-time workers in the United States. Wow. Now listen, I'm going to give you some statistics very quickly. There were 108,592,000, around 109 million in the United people in the United States in 2011 who were recipients of government benefit programs. That's welfare. 109 million, according to the Census Bureau. But according to the same Census Bureau, there were only 102 million workers who worked full-time year-round in 2011. Now, this includes both private sector and government workers. Think about that. There's 102 million of us supporting the 109 million that are getting welfare. There's more people on welfare than there are working. And the workers, every worker out there has to support somebody like himself on welfare. Only half of America's workers are working. The rest of them are all on welfare. Wow. Man. Okay, we're going to be back right after this message. Stay with us, won't you? You're listening to Secrets. And this is Power of Prophecy with Tex Mars. White girl bleed a lot. White girl bleed a lot. Well, it's not good English, but it's not meant to be. It's the title of a new book that we've got in here, and we're offering it in the ministry, by Colin Flaherty. The subtitle really makes more sense. It's The Return of Racial Violence to America and How the Media Ignore It. This is a really great book. It's thick. It's about 390-page book. And, you know, this book just makes painfully clear to me that the media, the liberal media, are covering up what's happening to white people across America. I wonder, now this is not all black people, by the way. I mean, but there are a good many blacks that are involved. You know, I had a wonderful black sister who wrote to me because I reported on some of these things. She said, well, I hope you're not a racist. You know, you're writing on these subjects, you know, and, you know, because I'm black and I love your ministry and everything. And I wrote her back and I said, Tamara, I'm not talking about people like you. You're a Christian. I'm talking about the two thugs that beat up the old man named Shorty in a parking lot. I'm talking about the black thugs that went around in their car looking for somebody in Oklahoma to shoot because they said they were bored. And so they found a young man walking down the road and they shot him in the back and killed him. I'm talking about a black mob of 50 people in Wisconsin that just ran up and down the streets trying to look for white people. Crackers, they call them, that they could bang on the head and harm. I'm talking about the 44-year-old black woman in Houston that went out and kidnapped a 12-year-old little boy. She brought him back to her apartment, this black woman did, and then she murdered him with a blowtorch. She tied him up, a little 12-year-old boy. Why? Because it was a white boy. She wanted to see him tortured and suffer. I'm not talking about you. And I wasn't. Because Tamara's a sweet girl. But you see, there are too many of these. And Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and all these hustlers are out there trying to make money off of us. And they rouse these people to hate, the blacks to hate the whites. I don't want you to hate the black people. No, that's not my job. That's not what any Christian wants. And I'm not trying to foment bad race relations. But I want you to be aware, this is a huge book and it tells case after case after case. Rapes, murders, beatings, mobs, riots. And they didn't even make the local newspapers, folks. It's incredible. Hundreds of blacks gather and riot and mob in Philadelphia, but it's not even reported by the national media. And then, you know, Trayvon Martin, he jumps on and starts beating up a white guy. The white guy takes his gun out and shoots him, and suddenly it's the white guy that's responsible. Racial violence is back, folks. Now, you know about the lynching of the blacks in the 1920s and all of that. Well, now it's blacks on whites. And we've got to publicize it, so we've got to stop it. If you're a black person, listen to me. Buy this book. You need it to prove your point, to prove what's happening. You can't show anybody a newspaper story because the newspapers don't report it. They're all a bunch of liberals. Now, I give full credit to Colin Flaherty for writing this book. He's a very experienced reporter, and he saw what was happening, and he's had to write a book on it. And we've got this book for you right here. Now, some black leaders have endorsed this book. For example, Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson out in California. I appreciate him. But we haven't had a lot. I think a lot of blacks are afraid. They're afraid themselves of what's happening. They know this isn't right. And don't turn on any black, but protect yourself. Now, my wife was sent by a friend a little stun gun, a little electric stun gun. Good. If you got a taser, a stun gun, or a, Better yet, get yourself a handgun and practice with it. Don't be caught out by yourself at the shopping mall when it's dark, especially if there's a lot of black people. And you know about these riots. They're even having mobs go into Walgreens, CVS drugstores, and Walmart and just clear them out. And the security guards in those places are frightened to death. They go in the back room and hide while the blacks are rioting and stealing stuff in the stores. And they call the local police, and, you know, 45 minutes later, the police come. Of course, the blacks are all gone. They can almost clean out a Walmart store in 20 minutes when 100 blacks suddenly just come in and just clean out the place. These are the kind of things that go on. Now, where did the title come from? White Girl Bleed a Lot. In the case, one of the cases you're going to read here, this young white girl was attacked by a black mob. She was just walking with her boyfriend down the street, a public street. She was attacked, beaten to the ground. She was bleeding all over her head. And one of the black guys laughed at her and said, "White girl bleed a lot." I want you to arm yourself, first of all, with knowledge. Read this book. Show it to other people. A lot of people don't even believe this stuff is happening. It's happening, folks. Don't go out looking for trouble, but if trouble finds you, you be ready. That's my principle. It's what my old dad used to tell me all the time. I mean, he must have told me 100 times when I was a young boy, you don't go out looking for trouble. You don't go out hitting on people. You don't go out calling people names. And if somebody calls you a name, you just walk on by. But if somebody stops you and hits you with their fist, then you let them have it. That was my dad's theory. If they hit you, then you take anything you can find. He said, get a brick, get a stone, get a tree limb, whatever you can do, and waylay them, boy. He said, you know, let them have it. But he said, try to get out of your situation. They'll call you coward, yellow belly. Boys will do anything, he said, to get you to fight them. You just walk on by. They'll call you coward, yellow belly. You're too afraid. Just walk on by. Be a man about it. Don't get down to their level. That's what he used to tell me. But if they run up, if you're walking away from them, they run up behind you and hit you on the head or something, you just let them have it. That's why. Now, I don't know, I tell that to my wife, Wanda. She doesn't think I'm right. She thinks I ought to, you know, just let them beat me up. She's a sweetheart, you see. That's the way a woman thinks. But I don't think a woman should do that myself. And these, you'll read about women here who were raped, who were killed. These people don't stop just hitting you one time like a kid does. They'll go on, my friends. They are psychopaths. White Girl Bleed a Lot. The Return of Racial Violence to America and How the Media Ignore It. You've got to know of the problem before you can solve it, so let's educate ourselves. Now, this book is $25. It's a great book, almost 400 pages. As for White Girl Bleed a Lot. All right. It is not a racial book. It's not a book that causes you to hate. Well, you might hate these people, but I think you'd be doing wrong. Pray for them, for one thing. They're psychopaths. They need help. But don't let yourself become a victim. That's the important thing. This book will not teach you how to hate, but it will teach you how to guard yourself, how to watch yourself. It'll tell you what's really happening. Okay, White Girl Bleed a Lot. Order this book, $25 plus $5 shipping and handling, total of $30. Just call us toll free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. I think you'll see it there right on the page. If not, use the search engine. It's right on the front page, Jerry. Okay. Jerry should know. He's both our radio man and he takes care of our webpage. Does a great job. So it's right there on the webpage and click onto it and order it. Won't you? You won't be disappointed. Powerofprophecy.com. Of course, you can send us $30. Ask for the book, White Girl Bleed a Lot. Send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708, that's 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, where we have been. How long have we been here, Jerry? About 15, 20 years? Long, long time, yeah. Got nice neighbors, though. It's a nice place. Okay. Now let's return to our regular program. And we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah, that was in September, I think it was, wasn't it? And I got this message that David Barton, the well-known Christian leader, was at some big church, and he was teaching about the Jewish festival called Rosh Hashanah. And he said, we're going to go into the Rosh Hashanah period. Now, in any case, he said that the United States of America will become a great nation again on this festival. Now, I think I've got this sort of mixed up. But on the other hand, David Barton was teaching about the Rosh Hashanah. Now, that fell on September the 4th, 2013. And he said we're supposed to have a wonderful United States. Now, if he told people this, he's nuts. David Barton, he's with the organization Wall Builders. Now, I've had it out with David Barton before because his group teaches that the Masons were, good people. And that we weren't set up as a nation in the first place by Freemasons. But we were. So he doesn't know his history, but he thinks he does. Now he's telling us that God's people in his kingdom will begin to rule and reign on a Rosh Hashanah. But listen to me, folks. These Jewish festivals mean nothing to you and me. All of them foreshadowed Jesus Christ coming, except for Purim, which is strictly a Jewish hell day, as far as I'm concerned. But all the others that God himself, gave to the Jews, that you'll find in the Old Testament, they were good things. They foresaw the coming of Jesus Christ. Rosh Hashanah is a good period. But they're past now because Jesus has already come. The Messiah has come. He has come with his kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said. Now, someday Jesus will put all things under his dominion. I understand that. That's why we're to pray the Lord's Prayer. But believe me, the United States isn't going to start getting better on a Rosh Hashanah. I mean, let's face it, September 4th, 2013, did you see things getting better? Did we start to rule and reign? Or did Miss Sebelius, Secretary of Health and Human Services, open up her her hellish healthcare.gov website about that time? I think another avenue to hell was open. We became more of a socialistic government. So all these people that are telling you that, I've heard from 1,000 people that say, Jesus is coming again, this Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is when Jesus is going to come again. Oh, come on. He's not going to come some Jewish holiday. When is Jesus going to come again? The Bible says only the Father in heaven knows. You don't know. You can't gin up some silly Jewish holiday. Those days told us about the good things that were going to come when Jesus arrived. Now, evidently this pastor, this Barton, told his audience, now I have a report from a good friend of the ministry named Leonard, that there will be an end-time transfer of wealth. And congregations will get all of this wealth and the Messiah will come. This is the same thing taught in the Jewish Kabbalah, an end-time transfer of wealth. Friends, the kingdom of God is not when you get wealthy. There will be no transfer of wealth. Entering the kingdom of God is something of a wonderful nature. And let me tell you, it's better than money. And Jesus said that it's very difficult for the rich to even enter the kingdom of heaven. The ultimate goal is not to be rich, but to love Jesus Christ and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus doesn't say, come and worship me and I'll make you a wealthy man. Can you show me that in the Bible, dear friends? Well, this is just nonsense. It's just nonsense. Well, transplanting organs medically is big business. A listener called in about this and they're concerned. They thought it through and I think they may be correct. With Obamacare creating a centralized database, everything about body parts, when someone dies and the coroner signs off on the body as being deceased, will the body be put on ice? Supposedly you have to give permission for this. What if you say no? They might do it anyway. Because they're all corrupt. And under Obamacare, they'll know when anyone dies in the United States. It'll all be, you know, put on the computer. And funeral homes and mortuaries will become part of the racketeering of human organs. Folks, it's already occurring. These Jewish rabbis are participating in up in the East Coast. Now with these centralized databases, they'll know the history, the health of the dead person's body, all of his organs. And the funeral homes will be told which organs to harvest. They'll all profit from the sale of organs. I can see Obamacare is going to bring a lot of, let's just say, money enterprises. Evil into this world. Well, on October 17th, a very odd thing happened. Diane Reidy, R-E-I-D-Y, a House stenographer. She works for the House of Representatives. She's a stenographer, a recorder. You know, they're up there and their little fingers are going like crazy. They're up there sitting at the front of the House and they record everything that goes on, all the proceedings. It's all written down. Everything that's said on the floor of the House is written down. Well, on October 17th, something strange happened. The U.S. House stenographer, Diane Reidy, she climbed on the University of the House of Representatives, excuse me, dais, and she began giving a speech. Well, she's not a representative. She wasn't authorized to give a speech, but she gave one anyway. Here's what she said. She said, God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. The greatest deception here is this, that this is one nation under God. It never was, she said. Wow. And then she continued. Now, people had stopped to listen. They were shocked. Who was this woman up there telling them these things? She was the House stenographer. And here she's telling them this. Was the greatest deception here is this, that this is one nation under God, but it never was. She said, had it been, the Constitution would have not been written by Freemasons. They go against God. Wow. I'll bet you that was the first time a lot of those congressmen heard that. Not only that, a lot of them were Freemasons. And they were angry at this girl. Now, they say that she's one of the best stenographers in the House, and all of her workmates agree. They said they don't know what happened. But she says it happened during prayer time at home. She was praying, and a message came into her heart and mind, and she was told to do this. I don't know. I'm not going to say for sure one way or the other. Now, they treated it as some nut going off, some crazy woman. But it seems to me that she was telling the truth. Maybe it was a message from God. How am I to doubt the passion of this woman? The truth that came out of her mouth. She says, God will not be mocked. She said, the greatest deception here is that this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, the Constitution would have not been written by Freemasons. They go against God. Well, they sent the guards up to take her off. I saw it on TV myself. Had five or six guys pulling her off and taking her away in down the elevator. And as she left, she kept talking. They were taking her out and she was still talking, boy. As the elevator door closed, she was still saying things. She said, you cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus Christ reigns forever. Wow. I wonder, did the congressman hear that too? Think about that. You cannot serve two masters. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus Christ reigns forever. Now, after her outburst, she was questioned by the Capitol Police. And they took her to a mental hospital for observation. She was there just a couple of hours. They let her go. She told Fox News, the Holy Spirit has been waking me up in the middle of the night to deliver a message in the House chamber. Wow. She said she felt compelled to speak out on the House floor. She had reluctance. She had doubt. But she did what God wanted her to do. It's interesting. The presiding officer of the House at the time was a Florida congresswoman, a Jewish woman named Elena Rose Latinen. She's a Latin woman, a Cuban, but she's Jewish. Think about that. The reigning officer of the U.S. House, right up there, began to bang her gavel in a call for order. As this woman spoke at the dais, Elena Rose Latinen, a Jewish woman, a congresswoman, began to bang her gavel. And this stenographer was a well-liked and well-known figure in the House, according to the congressman. There's a lot of sympathy, said Congressman Jerry Connolly, about what happened here. You know what? Maybe I'll get this woman and interview her myself. Now, she's not going to be working in the House, but they're going to give her another job, or they're just going to fire her. What do you think they should do? Now, you probably think they should give her a medal. Well, I do too, but they're not going to do that in the U.S. Congress. In any way, Diane Reedy, R-E-I-D-Y, bless her heart. Praise God. Boy, I tell you. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. Hey, did you know that you're one of God's chosen? Yeah. You can know this for sure. A lot of people say, no, only the Jews are God's chosen. There is eternal people. Oh, baloney. Read your Bible. I'm going to do an article for the newsletter on this because it's so important. Let me give you some verses. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. God knew you that early. You said, well, that can't be. I wasn't even born. My parents weren't born. My grandparents weren't born. Hey, forget about it. God knows all things. He put the first man and woman, and now there's 7 billion of us on this planet. And now there's 7 billion of us, and he knows every name. He knows every hair on your head. Paul said, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. If you don't believe Paul, let's go to Peter. In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10, he says, but ye are a chosen generation. That means a race. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, the people of God. That's what Christians are. We're the people of God. We're a holy nation. We're chosen. Oh, you don't believe Paul and Peter, do you? Is that what your Baptist, Pentecostal Assembly of God pastor, they're still saying, oh no, it's only for the Jews. You're not chosen. Well, what do they say about this? Jesus himself. Best of all, Jesus said it. Lord of Lord and King of Kings, he said it. Now, get this. John 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go out and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Wow. I have chosen you and have ordained. Did you know you have an ordination? You're ordained. Ordained by God. Chosen by God. Jesus Christ himself chose you. Wow. That's amazing. Well, let's go on a little bit more here. Let's find something. Oh, yes. In Israel, in the Negev desert, something interesting has happened. In the desert there are the Bedouins, B-E-D-O-U-I-N, the Bedouin people. You know, the Bedouins for hundreds and hundreds of years have, well, they've been nomads, you know, traveling back and forth in the desert with their tent cities and so forth. Now, Israel says the Bedouin cannot stay in the Negev desert anymore. They've got to be moved out. Now, the Israelis are making up excuses. Well, they need homes. They need running water. They need flush toilets. They need schools. Guess what? They want them out of the Negev desert. Now, what is in the Negev desert that they might see? What is in the Negev desert that they might experience? Why do they want these Bedouin people who have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years? Why do they want them out of the Negev desert? In the Negev desert is where Israel manufactures its nuclear bombs. It's atomic bombs. And they don't want anybody there seeing all of their experimentation, seeing these bombs leaving and going and all this. That's it. The Bedouins are in the way of the nuclear bomb factories. They don't want to go, by the way. They're opposed to it. Well, I wish we had more time. I'd like to talk to you about the amnesty bill. I call it the perpetual amnesty immigration bill. What the House is going to do now is put it into pieces. The Senate has already passed Obama's immigration bill, but the House is afraid of you and me and we the people. So they've decided they're going to piecemeal it. Marco Rubio said, no, I'm against it now. I'm against the Immigration Reform Act, but I am for pieces of it. They're going to put it in about 10 pieces and just pass one at a time in the House. Then they think you and I are so stupid, we will not be able to see it being passed. We won't know what they're passing. And then all the 10 pieces will come together like a mosaic, like a puzzle. They're going to do the same thing as the Senate, but they're going to do it in 10 different pieces. Piecemeal. Oh, they're crafty, aren't they? Oh, they're deceptive. Thank you, House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, House Speaker John Boehner, for giving us Obamacare. And now you're going to give us immigration reform, which is actually a perpetual amnesty bill. Perpetual amnesty. Forever and ever amnesty. And that, my friends, will mean the end of America. When up to 25 to 35 million more illegal aliens are all told, now you're legal. Now you're headed towards citizenship. And the second that they're told that they're legal, when this bill passes, then all of them will get their welfare payments. They'll be entitled to them, won't they? They'll all get Section 8 free housing. They'll all get Medicaid. They'll get their food stamps. 25 to 35 million people. And they will all vote Democrat. And we will not have any more America. That's it. Amnesty for all of these illegal aliens means the end of America. Remember, you heard it here on Power of Prophecy First. Until next time, friends, this is Tex Mars. Tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.